Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to be sharing from a passage of scripture in the Psalms. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. I was anticipating that. I was anticipating a bunch of heathens being here tonight. Does anybody remember the days in church when you'd be like, you'd say a scripture verse and then the pages would ruffle? You would go, shh, yeah. I'm glad those days are gone. Because you'd wait and you'd be like, what are we waiting for? Just put it on the freaking screen, you know? So that's what we're going to do. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 12. We'll be reading in the ESV. There it is. Look at that. Abracadabra. Here we go. This is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I like that. There's benefits. Hello. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? So tonight, just so you know, we're going to be going through the benefits, which I believe are like a Christian's pills. If you take those pills, you'll stay in your right mind spiritually. And when you get off of a Christian's pills, you're not in your right mind. And things get just whack. All right. So that's where we're going tonight, okay? If you're taking notes, you can call this Take Your Pills, okay? or pills are good. Pills are good. Okay, here we go. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. That's kind of the context for verse 6 there. Like God reveals himself as this God who set people free to worship him. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. I love this verse. By the way, isn't this fascinating? This is in the Old Testament. Like some of the best New Testament teaching this is just right there. This is so good. I mean, there's a lot of New Testament Christians that need to rehearse this constantly, right? That's where we're going tonight. He will not always chide. I've never used that conversationally. Chide. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us. I mean, this is such an incredible verse, verse 10. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. I have a friend in the hospital right now. He got hit by a car and like dragged 50 feet last week. And his son was going to come tonight because he's from Richmond, but he's taking care of his dad. I'm like, yeah, definitely do that. and I just said, like, text your dad. Please tell your dad from me that God didn't do this to him. You know, because we tend to believe in Christian karma. You know, right? That's not Christianity. That's Buddhism. There's a lot of Christian Buddhists out there. You know what I mean? If I just put in the work and I do the things, then I will get what I need in return, right? It's like a manipulative process in which I'm serving God so that I can get X, Y, Z. And that's not Christianity. We serve God because he's God. Do you know what I mean? Like he's in charge and that it is what it is. You know what I mean? Job, I mean, it's a fascinating verse, and you don't need to claim this tonight, but Job's just like, you know, if he slays me, yet will I praise him. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I don't serve you because of what I can get out of it. Now, there are benefits. We're going to talk about the benefits, okay? So we need to be aware of those benefits. But at the end of the day, I serve God because he's in charge. It is what it is, right? But isn't it cool that this is not his position towards us? God's not into karma. You know what I mean? He's so much better than that. As high as the heavens are above the earth, I mean, this is so good. So great is his steadfast, his continual love toward those who fear him. People who are conscious of God. That's what it means to fear God. Right? God consciousness. Right? You ever heard the phrase, have you no fear of God? It's like, aren't you conscious that there's somebody who's powerful that's created you and watching you in this situation? You hear me? As far as the east, gosh, this is so good. As far as the east is from the west, right, which they will never meet, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Amen. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna dig into this, okay? I know, we've prayed a lot today, but I'm praying for me. Okay? Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I believe that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And while it was written by people, those people were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So there's dual authorship happening. That's really cool. And I believe that and I confess that. And I believe, Lord, that because you are the ultimate author of the scriptures, that when we open the scriptures, we're reading your words. And your words are powerful. By the word of the Lord, the universe was created. And so God, I ask you that tonight you would create something in us as we read your word. That powerful, authoritative word that was, you just said, let there be light, and boom, there is light. God, in the places where we are deficient in faith, I ask you that you would speak and create something tonight. Just as we're reading your word, Lord, thank you that you are faithful to perfect that which concerns us. You're the one who began the good work in us, and you will finish it. So Lord, do that work of finishing tonight. Do that work of spitting and polishing and that work of finishing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I was reading a book recently by a Canadian psychologist. And in the book, the psychologist is talking about this phenomena in the medical community in which people with a wide array of maladies don't take their medicine. It's absolutely fascinating. And it's a wide study. It's like we're talking people who have been on dialysis for years and, they're awaiting a transplant. They get the transplant and you have to take this certain medication that's gonna reduce your body's ability to fight and resist that transplant, right? Like, dude, if you don't take this, you're gonna lose your transplant. You've been waiting on this for years. This is gonna be a life changer. Like, people like that, people who have cancer, people who have, a bacterial infection, whatever it is. And the study is absolutely insane. And the study goes like this. 1/3 of people won't even get their medication or their prescription filled. No, dude, think about this. 1/3 of people across the spectrum won't go to Walgreens and get their freaking prescription filled. That's insanity. That's insanity. And then another 1/3 of people they'll get their prescription filled, but they won't take the medication properly. Or they won't finish right? I don't know about you, but I've never finished a prescription of antibiotics in my life. You know what I mean? Well, 1/3 of you actually wouldn't understand that because 1/3 of you do that. So the other 1/3 are the people who are just, yep, I care about myself, I care about my life, and I'm gonna be obedient. So there's 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. It's absolutely fascinating, this study. And I remember just reading this and going, this is crazy. And kind of going through the what is the resistance? What's the onboarding process, for people? I mean, yeah, going to Walgreens sucks. who wants to do that? Nobody. Nobody wants to do that. You sit there in line and they're all, it takes for freaking ever. I remember the last time I had to get medication fulfilled. I was in New York and I went to this doctor, a city MD, and literally right across the street was a Duane Reade, okay? Across the street. And I saw them send the thing on the computer, okay, you can go pick it up. I walk across the street, and it took an hour, and there was nobody there. It hasn't come through. I'm like, what do you mean it hasn't come through? I saw them send the email. So you're sitting there, you're waiting, and then, I don't know if you've ever seen pharmacists, but pharmacists are typically, they're up on a platform. You ever seen that? You know what I mean? Why do you need to be on a platform? You know what I mean? It's a power tripping. You know what I mean? Like, we have the cure. We have the medication. We're smart. You're an idiot, obviously, because you're sick. You know, like, you're broken. So then they'll come to you, and they're no sense of humor. I've never met a pharmacist with any, right? Not people. They're pill people, not people. You know what I mean? And so they'll come over and they'll have, you know, your subscription on there, your prescription rather. And I get those two mixed up all the time. They'll have your prescription on there. And, you know, Mr. Finocchio, yes. Okay, so, and they'll read it with you. You ever notice that? They'll read it with you. I'm like, dude, I have eyes. I graduated high school. I'm good, you know. But they'll read, she'll take two tablets. You know, with a meal, what's that? Right? And then they'll say to you, you know, and make sure that you finish the prescription. And the reason I figured it out as I was reading the book, I'm like, this is making sense. The reason why they're saying that is because we're idiots. One third of us didn't even come. Right? And another third, they know, like, we're not going to obey this stuff or whatever. In the book, the psychologist is like, so conversely, what do you think the average is for people whose pets are sick and they fill the prescription for their pets? What do you think it would be? Shout it out. What do you think? 100. 100. People just, they do it. It's hilarious. Now, I'm from Canada. I'm from a small town in Canada, 1,800 people. You don't fill prescriptions for pets in Canada in a town of 1,800. You know what I'm saying? You do the right thing if a dog is sick. Take it out to the farm. You know what I mean? My father-in-law recently, he's like, oh, listen to this. My father-in-law, he calls me last year, and he's like, oh, mate. My wife is Australian. Oh, mate. He's like, pets are sick. Oh, the cat's sick, mate. Yeah, the dog's sick now, too. I'm like, so what are you going to do? He's like, oh, mate, it's going to cost $3,000. I'm like, are you okay? No, don't do this. Like, do the right thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, drive an hour outside of Sydney. A bullet costs a dollar, bro. You know what I mean? Like, no, that dog clearly does not want to live anymore. Right? The kids have moved out. Nobody cares. It's unbelievable. I remember we lived in, my wife and I lived in New York City for too long. Anything over a week is too long, right? We were there. I was there for, I think, all of 8 years. And so we're living in the East Village in, like, this cardboard box, 225 square feet. And we had friends that lived about five blocks over in the West Village in, like, a nice apartment in a penthouse. And so my friend his name's Paul Balash. He's a worship leader, still is a worship leader, writes worship songs. He wrote that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You know that song? Open the Eyes. Okay, cool. Right. Anyways, so he travels the world, and his lovely wife, Rita, like, doesn't like to travel with him, but every now and then she'll travel with him, and then they'll be like, hey, you know, would you guys like to come stay at our apartment? You know, get out of shanty town. And take care of, and then you could, like, take care of our dog. And so they had this dog. It was, like, one of those dogs who clearly, like, this dog shouldn't be alive. You know what I mean? It's, like, blind in one eye. It's hobbling. You know, and you can see it's, ow, ow, ow. You ever seen a dog like that? It's, like, it's a rescue. I'm, like, it needs to be dead. It's, ow, ow, ow. You know, like, running into, like, the door because it's blind and stuff. And I remember they gave me, like, this advent calendar of pills that this dog needed to take every day. And this is I think that any dog that's larger than that is too big for New York City. You know what I mean? Like, but it was a fairly large dog. And so anyway, so I'm just like, I'm rolling my eyes like, this dog needs to die. Like, and then they wanted us to feed the dog and, like, put and give it the pills, and you have to put the pills in a piece of meat or whatever, and then you open up, like, what? No. If you have to do that, the dog needs to die, right? Do the right thing. So I'm opening up the thing and shoving, you know, the meat with the pill in, and I'm going, this is absolutely insane. Imagine doing that to a cat. No. Do the right thing, right? So, but people will risk life and limb to feed these pets, keep these pets alive, spend insane amounts of money. My father-in-law paid the money, $3,000 to keep a dog who's probably going to live for another year alive. You know what I mean? Like, people will do that, but they don't take care of themselves. It's absolutely fascinating. And so the psychologist sort of summarizes, and he just says, like, look, like, people don't see themselves as somebody worth saving. We don't see ourselves as somebody worth taking care of because we're so aware of our own sin, our own, he didn't use the word sin, but he used our own brokenness, our own, you know, failures. But ultimately, it's our sin. Right, like our sin is the root of it. You know, like I've failed, and obviously, you know, not every failure is connected to sin. But people are just—they're ashamed. People live in shame. I think that's the number one thing that this guy was missing. It's like, bro, the weight of sin, you know, and the weight of guilt, and things that not just things that have happened to us and our poor responses, but things that we've done. You know, and things that we wanted to be and they never happened. And we desperately need Jesus who, like, gives us a reason to live. You know, you hearing me? And so I'm just going, wow. And so I remember just kind of, I read that and I'm thinking, wow, like, this is kind of humanity's first problem. Do you guys remember, you know, Adam and Eve and that story in Genesis chapter 3? And you've got Adam and Eve, and they take the fruit and they eat the fruit, and all, automatically there's sin enters the world, and immediately guilt and shame enter the world. And they, you remember what they do? They hide themselves from God, but ultimately they're hiding themselves from one another as well, right? So sin causes you to basically, you know, clam up, hide, and try to cover, and then we live these lives of you know, you're just trying to insulate yourself from life, and you kind of stop living, if that makes sense, in limiting your capacity, limiting your dreaming, limiting being innocent towards the world, and that way being able to live your life and be yourself. Not innocent in that you've never done anything, innocent in that you're not ashamed anymore. And see, the gospel liberates us from that and causes us to regain our innocence. But you remember the story, so they make fig leaf bikinis. You guys remember that? One of my wife and I's favorite show is Naked and Afraid. You ever seen Naked and Afraid? It's a great show. I've been watching it for years. It's wonderful. I'll give you the synopsis, okay? So the synopsis is like this. There's two people and they're survivors. Typically, they're not. Like, one of them's a vegan. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't eat meat. I could survive for 21 days. It's like, oh, okay. So they drop these people off naked as the day they were born. These people have never met each other. It's one guy, one girl. They drop them off in some uninhabitable part of the world. And they have to survive for 21 days, and they can only eat and drink what they find. It's amazing. They're allowed like one tool, you know, so typically somebody will bring a machete or a fire starter. A dude from Alabama once brought like duct tape with him. He lasted for like 2 days. It was amazing. I love the show, just watching these people suffer horribly. They drink dirty water and they get, you know, malaria and dysentery, and they're like sweating, and often, you know, it ruins their life. It's amazing. And they get, or they'll get bug bites. There's people who, like, you know, they'll be in a horrible place where there's mosquitoes everywhere, and they have no clothing on, dude. And they will be covered, like, their whole, all of their skin, it's insane. Like, thousands of mosquito bites. It's so good. It's such a good show. It just reminds you, you know, not to take for granted, you know, what we have, right? Anyways, so in the show, about the end of the first day or the second day, the ladies in the show begin to make like coverings for themselves because they're just like, who's this creepo, you know? And so they'll usually make like this sort of like leaf bikini. And in the show, like it blurs out like the nudity. Does that make sense? Like, so like their butt and their groin and, you know, and I'm like, what's that? I don't know. I didn't know what to say. So I just left it. So you get the idea. But even with the ladies having made the fig leaf bikini, okay, this show is still blurring out the shots of the ladies with their fig leaf bikini. You know what I mean? Like, why? Because fig leaf bikinis don't work. They don't work, okay? There's no support. There's not enough coverage, right? You run like 5 feet and that thing's gone. And that is legitimately what happens in Genesis 3. God shows up and he's like, what are you wearing? And they're like, well, we made fig leaf bikinis, you know, because we were naked. And so God ends up making them proper clothing. You remember that part of the story? So an innocent of goat skins. Like, how did God get the skin from the goat? Correct. It died. Right? So this innocent goat, which will foreshadow the goat on the Day of Atonement for the people of Israel, and ultimately foreshadowing and anticipating Jesus's once and for all unique sacrifice on the cross, which covers our sin, right? God, this goat is, you know, it's the gospel right there in Genesis chapter 3. You know, you're never going to be able to cover yourself. Ever. But that's what we, even Christians, try to still, you know, we're in the fig leaf bikini manufacturing business. You know, always trying to cover ourselves. Cover, you know, what do we say? We have this, I mean, you probably say it down here, you know, but in Canada, you know, my dad would say, are you trying to cover your butt? You know what I mean? Like, he's just trying to cover his butt. Like, that's literally what people do. That's what Adam and Eve were doing. In real life, right? Like, cover your mistakes. Try to deal with your stuff. And God's going, that's never going to work. I'm always going to have to be the one that covers you. You hearing me? And that's this beautiful, the beautiful, beautiful picture of the righteousness of Christ. That I am never going to be able to cover myself. I'm always going to have to rely on God to cover me. But we forget these things. Christians tend to think that they graduate from the ABCs of the gospel. And then we begin to feel weird because we're not human beings, we're human becomings. Human beings or human becomings are existential sharks, okay? We're always moving towards something. You're either becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus, but there's no neutrality in the human experience. Okay, so what I mean by that is you're becoming something every day. You know, well, I was loving 3 years ago. I invited somebody who I didn't like to my birthday party. Yeah, dude, that day you were loving, but the next day, what was the decision that you made? You hear me? It's like the NBA. You're only as good as this season. You hear me? So that's Christianity. So now, on top of that, your soul is basically a sponge. As we're going to look at Psalm 103, you know, David is basically having this therapy moment, and he's addressing these issues of his soul. He's going like, soul, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits. Why is he saying that? Because he forgets the benefits. Because your soul, once again, you're a human becoming. You're becoming something, or you're becoming less, you're becoming more, but there's no neutrality, right? In modern psychology, they teach you this. The scripture's obviously teaching us this thousands of years ago, but in modern psychology, they just like, okay, well, you know, your conscious thoughts, the thoughts that you're conscious of are just the tip of the iceberg. Most of your thoughts, like 80, 90% of your thoughts, are in the subconscious. Most of your thought life, you are not necessarily even conscious of. There's a lot of agreements that we make from all of our experiences, and a lot of things that are pushed at us, beliefs that are pushed at us, that we make agreements with. And then we have these weird feelings, because the way that your soul works is you have a thought, and your thought produces a feeling, and then a feeling produces a will, and a will produces an action. That's how that works. Right? Did you know that? So you don't have a feeling first. You have a thought first. A thought produces a feeling. Have you ever had a feeling and you're like, why am I feeling anxious right now? Because you're not conscious of the thought. It's because it's a subconscious agreement that you've made and it's manifesting itself. And so psychologists go, hey, we need to get after the subconscious things that you believe. And we're going to uproot them. And that's how we're going to be able to change, these issues that you're having, where you're having these weird feelings in life. So if you want to have good feelings, you have to have good thoughts, but you have to go after that subconscious. So you have to have a program that's going to, you're not just, once again, sometimes we think, well, I think good thoughts. Well, dude, you're swimming in a lot of thoughts that, once again, you're a human sponge and you just kind of pick up thoughts and you pick up agreements. For example, the shaping of the American palate. In like the 1920s or 30s, some dude told everybody who makes food in America to put high fructose corn syrup in it. Have you ever gone off sugar for like 5 seconds? And you start picking up bread, you're like, there's sugar in this? I remember having this Japanese friend in Bible college, and he's like, your food is too sweet. I'm like, what's wrong with you, bro? But then I started to taste his food. I'm like, it's totally different, right? So I was born in 1982. And I have a palate that I didn't choose. It was chosen for me by the environment, by the country that I live in. You hear me? So I have this proclivity towards, things that are semi-sweet or what we would consider sweet. But that was given. I didn't choose that. And so what I'm saying is that, you're living in the land of Netflix, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, right? At media. It's everywhere. And we're constantly picking up attitudes, postures, belief systems, and we make agreements with these things in our subconscious at times, even bad theology that we've been exposed to in the church, like Christian karma, for example. I'll bet that a lot of us have a subconscious agreement with Christian karma. You hearing me? And then we have these weird thoughts about God that are unbiblical because we have these subconscious agreements. I'm going to say something and then we're going to begin to look at these benefits. But this is what I want to say. If you are not working a conscious program, you will get worked by your subconscious programming. If a Christian is not working a conscious program, like rehearsing the benefits of being in a relationship with God, dude, you are going to get worked by that subconscious programming. So every Christian needs some pills that they need to take every day that will inoculate them from a life of doubt, of fear, of wondering if God hates them. You hear me? I need this I am a full-time Christian. I'm paid to be a Christian. Literally, I am. This is my job, to be a Christian. I'll preach on a Sunday and then I'll wake up on a Monday morning, and if I haven't taken my pills and worked my conscious program, I'll be like, God, do you hate me? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a human becoming, right? And we live in a fallen world and my soul is broken. And in fact, my soul is in a broken state of default. My default is brokenness. That's my knee-jerk brokenness. And so I need to constantly be taking my pills, working my program. That's what we see when we enter into Psalm 103. David's going, my soul's broken, and I need to rehearse these benefits because I'm forgetting them. Yeah, if I don't start working my program, then I end up at Kroger or whatever you have down here. Food Lion. Is that what you have? You got to say a little bit more southern, like Food Lion. You know, and you'll be in the chocolate aisle. It's 2 o'clock. You're like, God, where are you? You know what I mean? A jar of Nutella. Right? And you just begin to do things because of your feelings. All right, let's take a look really quick. Psalm 103. Let's put that scripture back up. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sin? The first thing you need to tell yourself, your first pill, every morning, Lord, you've forgiven all my sin. Past, present, future. Lord, I come before you. You know, in my prayer times, typically I don't begin with confession. I typically pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, so I hallow, you know, firstly, Lord, hallowed be your name. Father, thank you for who you are. You know, God, thank you that I'm in a relationship with you. This is awesome. You know, I kind of work my way through that. But then I will get my way, then I'll pray Psalm 103 verses 2-5 every day. What will happen is I insert this at the, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'll just go, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven all my sin. Father, thank you. My soul needs to feel forgiven, because if I don't feel forgiven, then I begin to wonder if God's angry at me. I begin to do the Christian karma thing. I begin to see my life as like, oh, this hasn't happened. You know, like bad things happen in my life because, you know, this has happened to me or because of sin, right? Like, you know, I made fun of that weird kid in gym class and this has just come back to haunt me 20 years later. You hear me? I don't always have the peace of God, but I do always have peace with God. You hearing me? I have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. I have peace with him. He's not angry at me, right? He's called off the war because of what Jesus did, and I received Jesus by faith. I stand in a righteousness that's not my own. Right? When the Father looks at me, it's as if I've never sinned because it's like I'm wearing Jesus. You hearing me? By faith. And so I have to rehearse that. God, thank you for the righteousness of Christ. I thank you that I am somehow the righteousness of Christ. And you begin to feel good because you should. You should feel good about that reality. You know, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you today. You forgive all my sin. You heal all my diseases. I can tell that my soul is getting a little whack when I'm not giving God the benefit of the doubt as my healer. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, like you're just like, you know, you go to pray for somebody. You're like, maybe I won't pray for them. What if it doesn't happen? You know, like, look, I'm not the one who heals people. God heals people, but I know that his posture towards me is healing. So I just, remind myself of that. God, I thank you today that your posture towards me is healing. So then I'll just begin to pray. Lord, Father, I thank you that you're healing this in my life. And Lord, thank you that you're healing this in my life. Thank you that you're healing my right knee. Lord, I thank you that you're healing my left knee, because my knees are, you know, it is what it is. And God, I thank you that, I just begin to work through stuff. Father, I thank you that you're bringing your healing. It's your posture towards me. It's how you think about me. It's what you want from me. You are my healer. You've revealed yourself as my healer in scripture. And so God, I thank you that that's how you think towards me. And if I don't receive my healing here, I know that I'm healed there. You hearing me? So I'm healed. And maybe I'll experience your healing in reverse. You know what I mean? I'm healed there, so maybe it's like a reverse wave of healing. Reverse wave church. You hearing me? Father, your kingdom is established, and Lord, let it be established. We're winning in reverse, church. And then we go, you know, you redeem my life from the pit and you crown me with steadfast love and mercy. As in, God, if I'm driving this thing, I'm careening out of control. Do you know what I mean? If I'm the driver and I'm in the driver's seat, I'm going to make a mess of this thing. In fact, I am. But you love me. It's not just like I got my fire insurance, but you don't really like me. It's like, no, you redeem my life from the pit. You know what I mean? Like you, Jesus, you take the wheel. You know, and you crown me with continual love and mercy. Father, thank you for that. Lord, that you love me and you crown me. You're crowning this day. Lord, thank you that you're crowning this day. You're crowning this week. You're crowning this month. You're crowning this year with your blessing, with your continual love and mercy. And then next, this is the final one. You satisfy me with good so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, thank you that you're renewing me. Thank you that you're satisfying me with good. You bring good things into my life. That's my posture. And so, you know, as I begin to think those things, I begin to feel those things. And then I begin, because I'm feeling it, I begin to act good. You hearing me? Can I give you some homework? Psalm 103, 2-5. I want you to pray this for the next 7 days. Psalm 103, 2-5. In 7 days, you'll have it memorized. You can start. I take my pills in the shower sometimes. You know, I take them every day. I'm going to close with this. Where's a band? Is a band out there? Are they still vaping? Okay. Tell them to come back. They ran out for some jewels. Yeah. It's good. Okay. So, when I first moved to New York City, where I live, we drive everywhere, where my parents live anyways. And so I moved to New York and I started, you know, walking everywhere. And about like 6 months into living in New York City, my right knee started to really, really, really hurt, like just incredibly bad. And I was 27 years old. And so I remember calling my dad and being like, Dad, I need to come back to Canada and I need to have my knee cut off because I'm in an insane amount of pain. I'm popping ibuprofen like Skittles right now. Like, I remember I was desperate. Like, I started to wear like Dr. Scholl's, you know, like insoles. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? I went to Walmart and like standing on the machine like an idiot. You know, and just like, which ones do I need? You know, nothing really worked. And so my dad's like, hey, come home to Canada. You can come see the doctor, but I want you to see Dr. Doug. Dr. Doug is an elder at my dad's church, and he is a chiropractor. And I'm like, I need to see a real doctor. He's a witch doctor. It's a soft science, Dad. It's a soft science. I need to see somebody who can help me, right? And he's like, you're an idiot. You know, come see Dr. Doug, and, you know, he's going to be great. I'm like, he's a garlic hanger. I'm going to go see Dr. Cressy. So anyways, I go home, I go see my GP, and he's like, doesn't really know what was going on. So I hobble out of the office and I go to Dr. Doug, who's down the street. So I go into Dr. Doug's office, and dude, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. It was hurting so bad. And I remember, you know, I hobble in and Dr. Doug, and I'm just like, this is stupid. I'm doing this for my dad. And I sit down and he's like, where does it hurt? I'm like, in my knee, like I said, you know, like, and he's like, where? I'm just right there. And he grabs it. And I'm like, ow, you know? And he's like, okay. He has this really deep voice and he goes, I want you to stretch your calf and I want you to stretch your IT band and I want you to stretch your hamstrings. And in about 2 weeks, I think, you know, you're going to notice a difference. And I'm like, do you have a PhD in high school gym coaching as well? Is that stretches? That is, wow. You know what I mean? Like, do I need to climb a tree and you know, eat an eagle's egg or something too, you know? Do I need to do a rain dance also? But I was desperate. And so I did the stretches. And I'm not kidding you. In 7 days, he said that I had a tight IT band and my calves were tight, my hamstring was tight, and it was just all pulling on the knee. And he was absolutely right. And I've been doing those stretches and I've had zero pain in my knee. I get pain like from running, you know, like, but in terms of that knee pain, it's totally gone, like to this day. And this was, you know, gosh, yeah, nine years ago. And I just remember being just so profoundly impacted that something like stretches could change my life. I was angry mostly actually at how successful this simple, you know, solution was. I think as Christians, we tend to over-spiritualize things. And that's kind of, this is where I'm driving at today. We, you know, the scriptures have done a lot of diagnosis for us. And the scriptures, like, God knows you. He created you. He knows what's good for you. And rehearsing the benefits of being in a relationship with God, I really believe are like a Christian's, once again, I likened it to pills, but it's like stretches, it's too easy. Reading the scriptures like that, no, it's too easy. No, Nate, you don't understand. I am so broken. You know what I mean? Like, you don't understand, there's so much, look, totally. I know that there are people with serious challenges here tonight, and I'm not trying to oversimplify. But what I am trying to say is that I really believe that sometimes God can work supernaturally, and he does work supernaturally. In fact, I wanted God to heal my knee by going to like a Benny Hinn conference. You know, when you get prayed for by like a televangelist or something. You know what I mean? You go in and, you know, you're in a tent and people are singing and you know, there's somebody, some lady in the corner smashing a tambourine. And you know, you go up and they pray for you, you fall down, they give you a modesty cloth because you're wearing shorts. You know what I mean? And then you get up and your knee's gone. But God gave me Dr. Doug. Oh, it's a miracle. God gave me Dr. Doug to bring about healing in a super ordinary way. And so what if the Holy Spirit was going, hey, look, I want to work some deep healing in your life. I want to give you some strategy. But like, you are off your meds, dude. You don't even pray about stuff anymore. You're not even believing me. In fact, you've uninvited me to your life. You doubt me as a healer. You doubt me as somebody who is for you. You doubt my love. It's almost like we don't have a relationship anymore. And God's going, hey, would you just invite me back in? You're waiting for somebody to pray for you. You're waiting for some sort of Disney twirl moment. You know, like, And God's just going, what if we met every day and you just began to pray and rehearse the benefits of being in relationship with me? I can bring healing. I'm your healer. Begin to believe me for what I can do. You hearing me? Do the stretches and see what God can do as you begin to invite him back into your life and begin to build some faith. Take your pills in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you're going, maybe I've been in the fig leaf manufacturing business. You know, like you kind of felt like, maybe you feel like you've been trying to cover up. You've maybe even had this thought, when I get, you know, my life together, then I'll serve God. You know, I'll start coming to church and I'll really be involved. But I just need to get some things together and I'm still a bit of a mess. Friend, you're always going to be a mess. And the fig leaf bikinis will never do the trick. Allow God to do the work. Let him be your covering. He's always going to have to anyways. And he's ready and he's waiting. He's going, hey, I've prepared a covering. His name is Jesus. He's your righteousness. You are not a righteous person, but you need my righteousness. You need my covering. Stop trying to, you know, you're never going to be able to dance hard enough for God. So why don't you just come home to Father and go, Lord, I quit that fig leaf bikini manufacturing. I'm done with that thing where I'm trying to work hard for you and impress you and impress myself. In fact, it's not working. It's just creating shame and guilt, and it just perpetuates cycles in my life that I'm not proud of. God's going, I want to interrupt that cycle tonight. I want to give you for free. It's a free gift. I want to give you righteousness. It wasn't cheap. It cost Jesus his life. But it's a free gift for you by faith. Romans chapter 10 says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, as in if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he was nailed on a cross for your sin, he took all of your sin and your shame and your guilt in his body. He was nailed on a cross. He died for you as a substitute. You were supposed to be the one on the cross. But Jesus died in your place. And then he was raised from the dead. If you believe that, you will be saved. And in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Well, Nate, I don't know if I can believe the whole thing. Totally. I mean, one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, had some doubts. He had some questions. God's not intimidated by your questions or your doubts. But we all need to make a decision about who Jesus is. So in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to go, I'm going to try to trust you, God, because I know that there's something broken in me and I need your covering. Why don't we all stand? In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And what's going to happen is really simple. I'm going to say a little bit, and then you're going to repeat after me. And we're going to do this all together as a family, okay? I'm not going to call you up to the stage and have you recite the Ten Commandments. I was going to do that, but not tonight. You're off the hook. So for one night only, you can become a Christian without reciting the Ten Commandments. That's a sweet deal. What do you think, Josh? It's a good deal. No, I'm kidding. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And if that's you and you're going, I'd love to just pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ankle bracelet you and track you. This is between you and God. But if that's you and you're going, Nate, I want to receive the righteousness of Christ. I want to quit that working thing. And I just want to come home and receive Jesus. And I want to be in the, I want to be in a relationship with God with those benefits. Like, I'm into that. If that's you, I want you to just put your hand up and go, I'm going to pray this. I want to pray this prayer. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. You can put those hands down. That's cool. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody tonight. Jesus loves you. This would be the best decision you've ever made. Thank you, Lord. All right, church, let's do this. Let's pray with these folks that are making this decision. I mean, I want you to pray with a bit of energy, okay? Pray like it was your friend that you brought to church, okay? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Jesus, we need you. I'm a sinner, and I need your grace, and I need your mercy. Jesus, I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that you are who you say you are. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me, Jesus. And cover me, Jesus. Be my covering. Be my salvation. Be my righteousness. And fill me with your Spirit today. I believe that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.